Greetings to each of you. In Jesus' name, you know, it's because of him that we are here. And I don't know that I can express that any better than that. It's because of God and the way he's led us that we've come to this point. And I want to look at the subject this morning of who is God. And we're going to open that subject by reading a couple of verses in Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 5. We're going to read the first two verses. Exodus 5, verses 1 and 2. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in. Okay, let me give a little bit of the preface here, and we're going to be getting into a little bit more of that later. God had called Moses in the wilderness. Moses came to Egypt. He told the children of Israel what's happening. And it's after this that we're picking up. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." As this verse makes obvious, it is possible to ask this question of who is God in a negative light. It is also possible to ask it in a positive light. And what I want to do as we develop the message this morning, we're going to look at human perspectives of God. And we're going to draw them from the account of Moses as he's going to Pharaoh repeatedly and asking to let Israel go. It was interesting to me that the different observations that came out about God in that dialogue, some things that I never really thought about as I read through the passage, but there's a progression. It was no mistake that Moses went back there 10 times to ask Pharaoh to let God's people go out into the wilderness. Because we can see a progression even in Pharaoh. The burden for the message actually came from a conversation with an old friend of mine. And we were discussing his perceptions of God as a teenager and what that did to his life. His life is really messed up. He has a lot of things that he's trying to undo now by the grace of God that he got into. I think largely because of a wrong perception of who God is. We're going to be doing a lot of reading this morning, and I wasn't sure if I should apologize for that or not, but I wasn't sure how we could get the story if we didn't actually read it. So we're going to read chapter 5 and into verse 13 of chapter 6 before we go into our first couple of points here. Picking up with verse 3, "And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works, get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather for themselves. And the tale of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your straw where ye can find it, yet not out of your work, shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both to yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, Ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you. Yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. After it was said, Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Okay, we see this passage here, and we're actually going to look at the Moses call a little earlier. I know we're kind of doing that in reverse, but I wanted to look at the weakness of man as we look at God's view before we look at what God says of himself. In verse 2, the way Pharaoh brought out that question, who is God that I should obey him? Effectively, he was saying, there is no God. And that's my point one. Man's view of God, point one, there is no God. God doesn't exist. And I have several friends that I'm going to be referring to. You'll wonder about the crowd I grew up with maybe till we're done here, but not all my friends turned out that way. The one I'm thinking of just now, I would say the key characteristic in his life is, I'm going to be my own boss, thank you. Just that way. He's his authority. Nobody tells him what to do. What's his view of God? His view of God is, I don't think he would say it in so many words, but in his life, his view of God is that God does not really exist or he doesn't matter. Because what I want to do, I am going to do. And that's exactly what Pharaoh was saying here. I'm going to do what I want to do. Nobody's going to stop me. And that probably was what Pharaoh was used to have happening. He was a man of authority, a man of power. He was ruling a powerful nation. But he was not prepared for the journey that God was about to take him through. To me, it's very interesting then, Moses' response to that, Moses and Aaron, they said, let us go or God's going to fall upon us with a sword. With pestilence or with a sword. Point number two, God is domineering. God will have his way no matter what. And that's really what developed the burden for this message. I was talking to my dear friend. And he said, Tim, I grew up thinking that God was a God with a big stick. God was there watching for an ounce of hypocrisy somewhere that would allow him just to bring that stick down. And he said, I ultimately just gave up. I just gave up. I didn't think I could measure up anyway. And he said, look at my life now. Look at my life now. It's all messed up. Business problems, marriage problems, family problems. He said, but now I see it differently. He said, now I see God as being there to help me. He's the one that has given me grace to go through each day. And that testimony was so beautiful. Going forward, jumping ahead into verse 22 and 23, and this is after we read those verses in between where Pharaoh took the straw away from the people and said, you need to deliver like you did before. Just make it happen. Figure out a way to make it happen. In that sense, he was saying, we're going to make life miserable for you. I mean, that was his goal. Make life miserable. And Moses, well, he was beating the Hebrew officers that were under the Egyptian taskmasters were being beaten because the people weren't fulfilling what they were expected to fulfill, what they were asked to fulfill. The people complained about it, and Moses came back to God and said, God, you told me you were going to deliver these people. He said, you didn't do that at all. You made life miserable for them. Now, sometimes we get the idea that God is deceitfully keeping things from us in life. That's my third point, third view of God. God is deceitfully keeping things from us in life. This goes the whole way back to Genesis. When Eve listened to the serpent, he said, look, God's just trying to keep you from having the best fruit in the garden. Look at that tree. It looks so good. He said, that's because it is good. And God's just trying to keep you from biting into the juiciest fruit there is. Just putting that dialogue in my own words. And many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we can fall prey to that very thought process. That God is deceitfully keeping us from something that we really deserve. I'm going to turn that coin around. And I didn't put this in as a separate point, but it almost could have been. God likes to have fun himself. He likes to be God. And sometimes we fall on the other side of the fence instead of God deceitfully keeping us from it to the side that says, God's not going to mind. And I have a friend that's right there. God doesn't mind if I do my own thing once in a while. And as I watch his life, you know, it started out with the thought that God doesn't really mind if I, as long as I get an A. You know, after a while it was, that B, yeah, God's good with that. C, yeah. After a while it was drinking, gambling. You know, as long as I'm respectable in it all, a D, yeah, God's accepting me. E, F, well, God forgives. You know, there's that sentiment too, sometimes. But is that a right view of God? No, it's not a right view of God. Yes, it's true that God forgives, but God's not out here just striking stuff off the record just because he can't bear to keep his word and bring the consequences that he said would come if we choose our own way. You know, that friend, his road took him down, down, down. And there was more than once when I got a call. He was in a casino, had gambled away everything he had, every dollar he had, didn't even have money for the bus ticket home. What do you do? A wrong concept of God. If he would have listened to what people were trying to tell him years before that, people tried. People tried to tell him that God is interested in empowering you to live a walk above this. If you would have listened to it that, then his life would have been totally different. Okay. Jumping around and reading a little bit here. Trying to pick up as much of the story in a nutshell as I can. Go to chapter 6, verses 28 to 30. Chapter 6, verse 28. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And we're going to read through chapter 7, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. We're just jumping through a couple of the entrances of Moses and Aaron into Pharaoh. We're going to go to chapter 8 and read the first 11 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come upon both thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. Jump ahead to verse 16, to the end of the chapter. And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 17, And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not, so there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptian to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. there remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. So we have a bit of a progression here. Moses is coming into Pharaoh. There are more plagues that come. But we see a change in the hearts of the magicians. A little bit of a change in the heart of Pharaoh. If we go to verse 8 in chapter 8, Pharaoh is calling, and he did this several times. He called Moses in and said, ask God to take these things away from me. Pharaoh came to the point of saying God doesn't exist to saying God is a spare tire. He came to the point of recognizing there were some things that God could do for him that he could not do for himself. But God was a spare tire. He waited until he was sliding, falling. Heard the story of a contractor was on a roof. Atheist. He was falling from the roof. And the first thing he did was cried out to God. God is a spare tire. Is the thought process. And that comes out in people's lives. As we move on, point number 5, the magicians recognize in verse 19, this is the finger of God. They could no longer do the miracles that Moses and Aaron were demonstrating before Pharaoh. They said, this is the finger of God. They acknowledged to Pharaoh, point number 5, that God is stronger than magic. They acknowledged to Pharaoh that there is a power here we cannot cope with. There is a power here we do not know how to deal with. Even in the light of this, as we go to verse 25, point number 6, Pharaoh is trying to compromise with God. My point is, people see God as a negotiable God. How many times have you heard, even brethren, I had this money, I wanted to do this. So I decided I'm going to put at least this much in the offering. Is God a negotiable God? Can we free ourselves to do what we want with God's money that we're laying claim to because we decided we're giving this part back to God? Is God negotiable? I don't think so. Pharaoh was seeing God as negotiable. He thought maybe they could have a meeting and that if he agreed to do this much, that God would agree to this much. But God is not negotiable. God is God. God is the one that has the plan. God is the one that lays the circumstances. God is the one that allowed that accident on the GW Bridge this morning coming to church. That's why we were struggling to get here in time. Do I recognize that? Well, I have to admit, my first impulse was, if we'd have got off the time we wanted to, we'd have probably been ahead of it. But what's to say that 7 minutes earlier wouldn't have had a white van and a gray car in the accident instead of two gray cars? You know, God has a plan. God is in control, and he's not negotiable. It is going to be his way. Verse 28, Pharaoh, as part of his request, 28 and 29, I think it is, somewhere right in here, he says, go ye, and he basically says, ask for a blessing from me. So point number 7, and I see a progression here. God is powerful, and his blessing is to be sought. You know, finally we're starting to see a bit more of a realistic picture of God. God is powerful, and his blessing is to be sought. But we can't stop there. We need to keep going. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 9, verses 13 to 30. I'm going to have to cut some of this out. I knew I was going to do this. Chapter 9, verses 13 to 30. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto me in all the earth. Was God negotiable? No. The command was still the same. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send now, therefore, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, etc. We're going to have to jump here. Sorry. Let's go up to verse 27. Moses gave the warning, and this is what's happening. The plague happened. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord. For it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. I missed a couple of verses in the middle here, but in the middle, what we have happening is the people in Egypt hearkened. Many of the people in Egypt hearkened to the message this time, but Pharaoh did not. It says, the ones that believed, verses 20 and 21, the ones that believed, they went. They sheltered their animals. They brought them in. And they stayed inside and were preserved. Number 8, God is a true prophet. If God says it, it happens. Number 9 is found in verse 27. God is righteous. And I think we're going to let that there. I love the progression. These last couple, God is power, his blessing is to be sought. God is a true prophet. God is righteous. And these are all coming from a heathen nation. After God's power was demonstrated in these plagues, turn back with me to Exodus 3. We need to look a little bit at Moses' calling and the second part of the message, what God says of himself. I think we're going to read this chapter. I don't know how to do it otherwise. Now Moses kept the father of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto them, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Okay. This is going to have to be a cram session. I struggled and struggled with this message for a while. And then Thursday night, we sat down at the children's school program. And it was introduced, and there was a big banner up in front, pictures of God. And so as they sang through that program, I wrote down the different characteristics, the different word pictures that I got from God, that I got of God in their singing. And you know, if we take 10 minutes on each of those, we'd be here till bedtime. And God told me right then and there, he said, your scope's too large. You have to pare it down a little. You can't cover this. This is a subject you can't cover. And so we're going to very quickly give some of the attributes that God gives of himself. Number one, verse 5, I am holy. God said, the place you're standing on is holy ground. I am holy. But God didn't stop with that. And this is what's so consoling to me. Point number 2, verse 7, he said, I see. What did he say he sees? I see the affliction. I see the trouble your people are in. I see what's happening. And number 3, same verse, I hear. I hear the cry. I hear the trouble. But he didn't stop at that. Go to verse 8 for number 4. He said, I deliver. I deliver. He sees, he delivers. And then also, number 5, I lead. God said, I'm going to deliver you from this, and I'm going to lead you to the next. And that is so consoling to me. God sees, hears, he delivers, he leads. In verse 14, when he identified himself, he said, I am. As a child, I used to wonder, what does that really say? I am. I am what? But you know, as I meditate on that, I am. I am the being. I am now. I was. I will be. I am the God of the universe. I am. You know, what better way to explain God? And that is exactly what Moses presented to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh chose to turn a deaf ear on that. But it wasn't long until his own countrymen were testifying, Pharaoh, you got to quit this. Egypt is going to be destroyed. Well, actually, they said Egypt is destroyed. And they're going to go. They're going to go. Verse 20, I work wonders. And I'm blessed with that. You know, I think all of us don't have to spend long. You can look at a time in your life when you see God working wonders. That's God. Verse 21, I turn the hearts of people. And I was so impressed as we looked through this story. God had to turn the heart of Moses. He had to turn the heart of Pharaoh. He had to turn the hearts of the children of Israel. He turned the hearts of the Egyptians. You know, God gives us a free choice. But God knows how to make us change our preferences. God turns the hearts of people. Number 9, and the last one I'm going to present this morning, God says, worship me. You look back at these points. I am holy. I see the affliction. I hear the cry. I deliver. I lead. I am. I work wonders. I turn the hearts of people. Worship me. I can't help but worship God. God is God. And I trust that not only the remainder of this service, but the remainder of our lives will be a walk of worship to God. Let's kneel for prayer.